The All Share Index closed down 0.1% at 54,432 points, dragged down by financials. Resources and the gold mining counters were the big winners on the back of a much weaker local currency, which seems to have followed other emerging market currencies on the back of global risk aversion. Chantel Marks is on the line for me. She's a head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Thanks very much, Chantel, for joining us. Good stuff. So let's take a look at the global backdrop. What's happening there? And we know that Mr. Trump is very much front and center of it.
Yes. So a renewed concern or still concern around the US-China trade war, it just seems to not be going anywhere at the moment. And you would have seen US Treasuries pick up a little bit, the gold price also quite well supported, and safe haven assets generally doing well because of this. It seems that market participants are now pricing in a more than even chance of it being drawn out or even more drawn out than initially thought. I think at the beginning of the year, we were all hoping for a trade deal to be concluded by the end of this month or at the latest by the end of next month, but that just doesn't seem to be materializing at the moment.
So
I think
Yes. So if Donald Trump says that he's in no hurry to make a deal with China, and like you say, the interpretation is that this could be long drawn out, then presumably the market is just reacting in the short term. Things like the fundamentals of companies and economies should then be, you know, the focus of market players going forward. Because if this thing is going to be long drawn, then what do you do?
So I guess the problem is that this could become a fundamental issue. If this story is dragged out, it could take a real, or it could really hit confidence hard, which will hit investment hard and will hit global growth hard. We also need China to do quite well in order to support global growth, in order to support commodity prices. So if China is not doing well and the Chinese are not investing and they're delaying certain investments in growth projects because of this, or they are hard hit by U.S. Kind of trade tariffs against their products, or in the extreme case, what we saw with Huawei, where U.S. companies aren't even permitted to do business with certain Chinese companies, it could become a fundamental problem and materially impact on growth.
Based on the analysis that you've given, it is quite interesting that today we see our gold mining counters and resources up quite substantially. Resources up 3% and the gold mining counters up 4.7%. Usually the kind of sentiment you're talking about would whack those counters. So why are they up?
So specifically, it would usually whack the diversified mining counters, particularly if they have large exposure to iron ore. I think the weak rand mitigated that impact somewhat, and that there might be concerns around iron ore supply going forward. From a gold perspective, the gold price was well supported because of concerns around this protracted trade war and a possible slowdown in growth, and then that was further supported by the weaker rand. So the weaker rand kind of mitigating the impact there.
So we're talking about emerging market currencies getting whacked. Earlier we were speaking to Owen Ngomo, also mentioning that the Turkish lira had been hard hit. The rand really whacked indeed. I mean, just yesterday it was trading, what, around 14.16 or so, and now it's trading at 14.70. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, for the rand, I think there were three key things. So firstly, you had a stronger US dollar because of these concerns around global trade. It's kind of perverse for the US dollar to be strengthening when they are front and center of the issues. But because the US is seen as a safe haven economy, money was flowing their way. And the second thing is that there seems to have been some sort of, let's call it unhappiness by market participants around the swearing in of our new deputy president. That was not expected to take place. And then the third thing was an MSCI index rebalancing that took place today. And that also had a huge impact on our market and the downward pressure that the JSE faced today. So some of these passive or ETF investors would have taken money out of South Africa because the MSCI indices were rebalanced in favor of Saudi Arabia in particular, as well as in favor of China. So that would have also had an impact.
Of course, everyone is, you know, anticipating this new cabinet. There were rumors flying that we were going to hear something at 2:30, then at 4:30. We just have no clue what's going to happen. Is the market pricing in a positive cabinet announcement?
So, I mean, definitely if you spoke to me about a week or two ago, I would have said certainly. But, I mean, I think the fact that the deputy president of the ANC was sworn in as deputy president of the country today would probably be perceived as those as the odds not being as heavily weighted towards a market friendly cabinet, mainly due to the fact that there were some question marks around the deputy president of the ANC. He went through the ethics committee, who actually ended up clearing him, the ethics committee of the ANC. So I think that there's just a little bit of uncertainty around whether or not the cabinet will really be reform focused.
Okay, we wait and see. Let's take a look at a couple of stocks. There were a couple of stocks that I looked at least in terms of results. We looked at Cartrack. They came out with absolutely fantastic numbers. All their metrics look fantastic. What do you think about this particular company, and did you see the reaction of the share price?
Yeah, I mean, so Cartrack is actually a very interesting company, and it plays in a very interesting space. And it really speaks to the way that the market is moving in terms of a kind of safety and security when it comes to logistics, as well as an optimizing optimizing supply chain and logistics.
Yes.
So by following not only kind of your normal cars that you and I drive, or tracking those cars, it is also used as a tool in business. And the Cartrack model has been particularly successful overseas as well. So it's not only in South Africa where this is a well-known brand and that they are doing quite well. It seems to be doing at least as well, if not even better, overseas. So in terms of that share price, it was up 14.8% today.
Wow.
Putting its market cap at just over 5 billion rand and really kind of moving towards the upper end of that mid-cap space. I reckon that investors have started looking at this one a little bit more closely.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's one or two institutional brokers that also cover it now. So, yeah, I mean, definitely one to watch going forward.
Mm. African Bank, of course, it's not listed, but it has a tradition of announcing its results on the JSE SENS. It came out with results today, that is interim results for the 6 months ended March 2019. They seem to be growing quite nicely, being very conservative in who they allow to borrow money from them, given their history and so on. The CEO says that they want to wait a little bit longer, get a return on equity of about 15% before they can begin to consider listing. What do you think about their business?
Yeah, I mean, the African Bank that is left is basically the old good bank. So African Bank, when things went pear-shaped, was split into the bad bank and the good bank. The bad bank had all the kind of they had Ilorines in there, and then there was also it also housed their insurance assets and a couple of other businesses that actually just ended up being bankrupted or being liquidated.
Yes.
The good bank was basically the business that was actually writing decent business. You'll also remember that the South African Reserve Bank and the Big Four banks bought some of that bad debt as well. So what was left was effectively a pretty well-run operation with a pretty decent book that was pretty low risk.
Hmm.
And this is the business that we're talking about today. So I'm not surprised that things are going quite well for this leg of African Bank. It seems that they're growing their retail deposit base quite nicely. Impairments have been coming down. And their advances are growing slowly but surely. They're also showing a profit, even though it moved backwards slightly.
Yes.
They are showing a profit. I mean, in terms of the return on equity, they would want to show a better return on equity and at least be comparable to the Big Four banks before listing to make it a compelling investment for investors, yes, again, because 15% would be kind of at the lower end of where the South African big four banks are trading at the moment. I mean, you've got the likes of a First Rand on a 22-23% ROE. You're not going to compete there. I guess they want to get close to an APSA 16%.
Yes, absolutely. And any other stocks that stood out for you today before I let you go, Chantel?
Well, Sibanye Gold and Lonmin did exceptionally well. Sibanye probably a little bit supported by the gold price and the weaker rand, but that deal was actually approved by both Sibanye shareholders as well as Lonmin shareholders, and collectively they're going to be one of the largest platinum and palladium producers in the world. Platinum and palladium finally coming back into favor over the last 12 months, I reckon. So that share or those shares performing quite well. I think Sibanye was up in excess of 10% today. So I think a lot of talk around those two companies.
Yeah, so the minority shareholders were just blowing a lot of hot air when they were talking about perhaps turning down the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they were kind of hoping that Sibanye would lift their offer for Lonmin again, given where platinum and palladium prices are at the moment. But Sibanye holding firm. Lonmin shareholders really getting a fair deal given the fact that that business really cannot operate on a standalone basis anymore. So I think that they were trying their best. But I think they got a good deal.
Yeah. Okay, Chantel. Thanks very much. As always, Chantel Marks, she's the head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments.